Blog Talk Radio.
Very good day and welcome once again to another edition of the FootballDiehards.com podcast. My name is Skip Lacombe, and joined today I've got Bob Harris, senior editor of FootballDiehards.com, plus our good friend Joe Hebert. How we doing, guys?
I'm doing good,
well.
Skip.
All right. Well, another Friday. It's time for another podcast and lots of injuries to get to, so without wasting any time, I want to go ahead and start off in Miami as Chad Pennington is going to be out. We're going to have Chad Henne in his place. Bob, what are your thoughts on that? Is Henne going to be able to get anything sparked down there in Miami?
You know, I think they're going to continue to rely on the rushing attack heavily early on, but yeah, you know, and they do. They have been running good. But I think over time, I think the goal is going to be, you know, they've had a plan in place for a while. Chad Henne was going to be the starter. It was only a matter of when, and Chad Pennington's unfortunate injury speeds up the transition. Now what I think they'll do, and I think what's a little exciting for fantasy owners, he's got the kind of arm to take advantage of the speed that guys like Ted Ginn have, and maybe as the season progresses, we'll see them go down the field a little more than they did. Well, certainly we'll see them go down the field a little more, maybe even a lot more than they did with Pennington under center.
Joe, what are your thoughts on just that spark factor of getting a new guy under center and maybe being able to spark something offensive?
Yeah, I think it's certainly possible. I mean, in part, it's certainly going to depend on what type of a leader Henne is and how much respect he has in the huddle. And if he can get his guys behind him, I think that can certainly happen. But I certainly agree with Bob that the key factor here is that Henny's arm strength is so much better than Pennington. And, you know, we've all been waiting for Ginn to develop into the star receiver and sort of fulfill his destiny with the pick that Dolphins used on him and disappointed so many fans at the time with. And if he's ever going to, you know, turn into something special, I think he needs somebody with a big arm like Henne. And this could be a turning point in his career when we look back down the road.
It does seem like a situation where, you know, this is, like I said, this has been the plan. There was talk of, you know, Henne taking over, you know, not necessarily this year, but I mean, the plan was Pennington's contract expired at the end of this year. And I'm pretty sure that he would not be coming back, and Henne was the guy that would replace him. So it's not like the plan hasn't been in place and people don't know what to expect of Henne. And I think this week, you know, you often see guys come in and that first time in, there's not film on them, everyone struggles. And I also note that the Buffalo Bills are going to be without their two starting safeties are going to be out. They're going to have a couple other defenses. They lost Leotis McKelvin, put him on injured reserve. They're not going great guns on defense, so it could be an interesting, you know, one-week matchup for people on a bye week in a bit of a bind. Henne might be a good play for you.
But you don't really think Henny's going to be that long-term guy to be saving your team?
Not a front-line guy, but certainly a viable fill-in, a viable backup.
All right, well, moving on to another quarterback who is going to be played by injury this week is Mark Boulder. He's going to be out with his shoulder. Looks like Kyle Bowler is going to get the start in his place. Same thing there. You think we're going to be able to get any sort of a spark out of him?
I'm less excited about that situation just because it's the Rams. Hey, they're going to rely more heavily, you know, on the ground game. They've got Steven Jackson. They also have problems at receiver. You know, Laurent Robinson, who kind of emerged as their top guy, you know, that he's lost for the season. So that adds to the woes. They didn't have a lot of playmakers. Last week, Daniel Fells, the unknown tight end, who may be unknown again this week or not, you know, seemed to hook up quite well with Bowler. But, you know, San Francisco's defense is not the best defense in the world, but certainly they're pretty tough. And I think, you know, I don't expect a big week from Kyle Bowler.
All right, moving on to another injury of note is Lindell White is listed as probable right now in Tennessee, and this is a team that really needs to get on the winning ways. How much is Lindell White being out going to affect their chances?
I think he'll be fine. He came back to practice today, and they did list him as probable. It was an illness. I think, though, that's, you know, brings up something worth noting. There is, you know, a fair amount of flu going around. In fact, one of the Houston Texans has been diagnosed with swine flu, reserve tight end Anthony Hill. They say they've got it isolated, but you see these teams. Derek Mason came down sick today in Baltimore. Troy Smith, the backup quarterback, had already been ill there. So you start watching for these things, and if you see one or two guys on a team come down with a little bit of an illness, then maybe it can be a bit of a concern. We saw Pierre Thomas miss the first half last week. Who knows how much he would have ran for had he played the whole game. But he was unable to go the first half last week. He was laying on a training table getting multiple IVs before the game just to stand up, and still wasn't eating until later this week. So there is some wicked flu going around, and these are young, healthy men who tend to overcome it. But if you get a one team where you get a handful of guys start getting sick, it can be an issue. So it's worth watching. He's the only guy I see in Tennessee We've got a couple guys in Baltimore, Derek Mason being the latest. I would expect he'll play. You know, he doesn't often miss games, even when it's really bad, you know, when he's actually hurt. So I'm not expecting him to miss time, but that's something we're going to have to watch coming on. The flu season is here, and it's that crazy swine flu is out and about, so we'll be watching that.
Yeah, also out of Baltimore, you mentioned Derek Mason, but Todd Heap and Kelly Washington also listed on the injury report. Should there be any other issues or concerns on the roster?
I don't think so. With either of those two guys, they're both listed, probably both put in full practices today. I think they're good to go.
All right. Also, not really much of a surprise, but looks like Randy Moss is going to be okay in New England. Wes Welker is still a little uncertain, though. Do you think it's likely Welker may be able to get out there?
You know, I've heard, you know, the speculation is it could depend on the weather. If it's decent weather, he will. But there's also been speculation this week, you know, from a pretty reliable guy, Mike Reese, of the used to be of the Boston Globe, now of ESPN, who kind of suggested that if that swelling is ongoing in his knee, which, you know, we're speculating because we don't know exactly what the issue is, but certainly there's an ongoing problem with that knee. If it doesn't clear up by their bye week, maybe they shut him down, clean that thing out, and then try and get him back for the second half of the season. If that's the case, if we look at what the Patriots have done this year, Tom Brady specifically, his best game was when Wes Welker was on the field week one catching 12 balls. Not that Randy Moss can't get it done. Randy Moss can get it done. But, you know, Brady seems to be just a little bit off target. I think he feels a little better when Welker's on the field. Julian Edelman is not yet, you know, able to fill in ably for Welker, despite the similarities between the two. And Joey Galloway is still playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's just in a Patriots uniform. He doesn't know what he's doing. So that's a bit of an issue for him. And it will be an issue going forward if Welker's knee doesn't clear up. And that's still a question.
Joe, and on the Brady front, too, I mean, we have seen his production kind of gone down this year. I mean, is there any time to worry now at this point? Do you think there's still just a little bit of rust there? I mean, granted, you're probably not going to just drop him for waivers, but is it maybe time to start thinking about trading Brady to somebody for somebody else, Joe?
In my opinion, I think Brady will come back and find his comfort zone. He's not quite there yet. I think one of the main things you can look at is you look at Moss's yards per catch right now. It's far below where it should be, and we saw that a bit even in preseason where Brady was not comfortable throwing the deep ball. He was not accurate on that, and he's just not getting those opportunities and hitting them. And I think as the season goes along, he should regain some of that confidence, and those numbers should start to pick up again.
All right, moving on.
It seems like he's just a little bit off right now, and I think what you're seeing, what we'll continue to see the Patriots do, they are a thinking organization, and they'll be making the necessary adjustments. And I think last week we saw them focusing a little more on the run. We could continue to see that, although this isn't a great week to run against the Ravens, going up against the Ravens. But still, I think they'll make the adjustments they need. And I keep looking back at last year when Matt Castle came in and how they adjusted that offense early in the year and went with more of running, more of a short passing attack until Castle got comfortable and was going deep, you know, by the end of the season without much issue. So I think they know how to make these adjustments in the season, and you know we tend to panic, you know, from day to day, from week to week, and I don't think the Patriots operate like that. I think they operate with a longer term, you know, longer view, and they'll get things adjusted and dialed in pretty short order.
Finally, I have some pretty good news to report, too, for Tomlinson owners. Looks like he is likely to go ahead and start this next game. Currently listed as probable, able to go ahead and get some reps in at practice. So is it likely Tomlinson is going to start? You think there's going to be any worries having him on your starting team this week?
No, I think you go ahead and you play him. I mean, the Chargers haven't been running the ball well. I think they think his absence is why. Darren Sproles is a great playmaker. He's capable of breaking something off every time. But to get that consistent yardage, and they've had some troubles in the red zone too, and maybe some of that has been their inability to run effectively. I think they hope with Tomlinson back. And you know, the Steelers' defense is tough, but it can be run on. You know, Cedric Benson ran on them last week. And I think if Tomlinson's back and he has practice without any issues, they said, North Turner said today he did some acceleration and some good change of direction stuff. So, you know, assuming all that's true, hey, would I want to have to rely on him as my, you know, as my only weapon if I was banking on him? No, I never like a guy coming off an extended absence, even if it's two games or whatever, you know, in this case. You know, you don't want to have to rely on that guy as your only weapon. But, hey, if you throw him in there, you got another solid back in there to work in tandem with him, do it with some comfort.
Yeah, also with Thomason being back, we could probably expect to see Sproles' numbers go down a bit, too. Your thoughts on that, Joe?
Yeah, I have to agree. I think Sproles is much better as a complementary weapon than a primary weapon. And I think what we saw while Thomason was out was Rivers going to the air more. as they didn't want to overuse Foles, as Bob has pointed out before. You know, that's just not a good thing to do. You're just going to wear them out, and they know what they have. And again, like the Patriots, the Chargers are smart enough to play to their strengths and not hurt themselves by doing too much in the wrong areas.
You know, it's not necessarily a case of you know, less being less. It could be the old addition by subtraction too. You know, getting Sproles and using him in that complementary role instead of trying to force him into that primary role could actually lead to a more productive Sproles. We like that.
Well, you know, that really is what we've seen over the past couple of years with Sproles. When the two of them are in there together, it seems like what's good for the goose is good for the gander. They kind of help each other out.
Yeah, Sproles can come up with a big game, like one big game, and then you kind of fade a little bit. You know, he tends to get whooped on a little bit. So I think really when they use those two in tandem, it's the best for the team and it's best for fantasy owners. And, you know, hey, it's hard to rely on a guy that's not the primary back, but, you know, point per reception league, Sproles is still a viable starter.
All right, moving on to Washington. It also appears that Clinton Portis is unsure for this upcoming weekend, too. Should there be any worries there, Bob?
I think there should be. I think just in general there should be some worries. But in Portis's case, hey, he did not practice all week, which is kind of surprising. He got kicked in the calf. He, you know, that doesn't sound that bad to me. He's had some ankle issues. He's got bone spurs. That sounds like it might be a chronic issue. Maybe they're not discussing that as much as they should. Liddell Betts is there. They have Marcus Mason, who got some first-team reps. They had Rock Cartwright, who came up big kind of last week in a one-off role. Yeah, I am a little worried. You know, and it would be great if you see Portis go up against the Tampa Bay defense that pretty much struggles to stop anything. And whoever's in that game seems like they'll have a great opportunity to excel. You would hope it's Portis, but even if it is, how sound can he be? The good news on that one is Portis has played before without practice. He's been taking mental reps. He's been out on the field, so it's not like he doesn't know what to do if he gets in the game. He will know what to do. But I would be worried if I was relying on him as my RB1. It would be a big, big worry for me.
All right, looking like in New Orleans, too, Mike Bell's going to probably be out. Is this still the case?
That is official. They will get Lance Moore back this week, but, you know, that's a bit of a question mark, too. He's listed as probable, but they have enough playmakers in that offense. You have to wonder if they're going to really push him back. There's been some speculation by the local reporters that maybe, you know, he's going to kind of get a little limited workload. They're going to bring him back along slowly. I think they're going to try and, you know, I think they'll continue to try to run the ball. They've had so much success with that. They're the second-leading rushing team in the league right now. I think they're going to continue to push that angle of it, and if we get Pierre Thomas in for a full game, that could be very interesting to see what he could do. Reggie Bush will put up good numbers. But they've got enough playmakers in that offense that, hey, Mike Bell, I think they'll hold them out maybe even until after their Week 5 bye. There has been some speculation on that today too. And that would make sense. I mean, why wouldn't you? When you've got all these other guys who can get the job done, why force a guy back into the lineup when you really don't need to? I think we'll see that.
Well, yeah, that does certainly seem to make some sense. Also, too, moving on to Dallas, some good news and some bad news. Felix Jones probably is still out. In fact, is still out. And Barber is currently listed as probable, so we may be able to see him back. Even though he is listed as probable, we still may see a lot more of Tashard Choice as well. Correct, Joe?
Yeah, that's what it appears to be. It looks like they'd probably save Barber for more of the touches around the goal line and let Choice do the work between the 20, so to speak, and probably even take the bulk of the work. So Choice could be a nice sneaky play here if you've got him.
Choice might be the choice. And, you know, the thing about that is you know, hey, Denver's defense has been no pushover so far this year, you know. They aren't giving up a lot of scores, and so it'll be interesting to see what Dallas can do, maybe expose them for not being as good as we think they are, or maybe they'll get a chance to prove themselves. But I do think, you know, I think the consensus around people who cover that team closely is Barber is likely to start. You know, but do you really want to push him when you've got Choice there? And Choice has proven, I mean, against tough rushing tough defensive teams, that he can still carry the ball effectively. You know, look for him to get 10-plus touches, you know, even if Barber starts. And I think he's still a viable play, not, you know, as your lead back. And I'm not sure Barber's a viable play as your lead back. I think both of those guys ought to be your RB2 or maybe a flex if you got him.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure who in Dallas you want to have your number one anything really at this point, right?
At this point, there is some issues. I mean, hey, you know, Tony Romo can still make some plays, but you know he needs a little more help from his Terrell Owens replacement, from Roy Williams too, who's coming up a little bit short. Seems to be struggling with his role, not sure what his identity is, and you know Jason Witten's not the huge playmaker. He's a reliable threat, but But I think they need that one playmaker. And Patrick Creighton has come through at times. I think Miles Austin is capable of coming through. But they need Felix Jones back on the field. That guy, I mean, when you average 10 yards a carry, I mean, the tragedy is he just doesn't hold up real well. You know, it's almost like he goes so fast, he runs himself out of his joints or whatever. So that's something to watch in the future. I mean, the guy has had three injuries. I mean, you know, he's played very limited. He's been really effective, but I think, I've described it like being a dragster. You drive that thing up the strip one time, you better take it in the garage and rebuild it.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned T.O. Jr. I wanted to get your thoughts, actually, on Terrell Owens and his diminished numbers this year. I mean, do we expect to see more of that, or do you think they may be just kind of off a little bit? Do you think we'll see those increase, Joe?
I think it's really going to depend on how involved T.O. can stay in the offense. And, you know, with him, you just never know. I mean, if he's going to start getting frustrated either via Buffalo losses or his non-production, then, you know, he can check out at any time, and we've seen him do that. I think he's a bit of a gamble, and that's why I wasn't willing to make him a wide receiver one on any team I had, and he was a nifty wide receiver two even. So I think people should have expected this. I think those who jumped on the bandwagon that says, you know, first year anywhere, he's a dominant receiver, weren't looking
that
at 35-year-old Owens.
Yeah, hey, you know, but that, you know, you can use that to your advantage too. If you have him, you know, or if you're interested, you know, look at him now. Maybe, you know, start making low ball offers and get him if you have room on your roster. And maybe as this offense matures, maybe gets Marshawn Lynch back, gets a few more weapons in there. Maybe, you know, the daily abuse that Trent Edwards is undoubtedly taking on the practice field, you know, when he's not getting the ball down the field, and the abuse he's taking in the local media. I mean, you know, nobody likes the captain checkdown moniker, which he is currently wearing with some distinction. I mean, you know, at some point he's going to want to prove that he can go down the field. And, you know, they've come close on some plays down the field. I mean, T.O.'s dropped one. He's overthrown guys on a couple occasions. They have Lee Evans there. So, you know, maybe this is the time when you start offering, you know, your, you know, somebody else's number three receiver for Terrell Owens and find somebody in a bad mood, and maybe you come out with a bargain as the season goes on. But, you know, unless you need to have some room on your roster to stash someone like that.
All right, and moving on to the Seahawks, looks like Matt Hasselbeck is likely going to be out for this week too. How much is that going to affect their productivity?
You know, he's listed as doubtful. This is going to be a tough game anyway. You know, the good news is there is some injury issues on it for Indianapolis too, but, you know, this was going to be a tough game for the Seahawks either way. You know, all that said, I think Nate Burleson is a guy you can play every week. I think John Carlson's still a guy you can play every week. T.J. Houshmandzadeh, I'm not so sure. I kind of liked his act last week when he said he was open every play and they just didn't get him the ball. Nice. So you got to admire that kind of a stand-up guy. Called out the Bears going into the game saying they should have yelled at him and tried to sign him, and then went out and proved why they didn't sign him, and then after the game said it wasn't his fault, he was open every play. So that's an interesting dynamic there. But with Seneca Wallace, he's more athletic. He can move around a little bit. That could help him out. But I wouldn't want to have to rely on Seneca this week. Maybe Nate Burleson and John Carlson would be my guys.
All right, we're also going to have one of the most anticipated games of the year going on this weekend as well, with Minnesota and Green Bay. Now, we're also learning about Percy Harvin's migraine issue. Do you think that's going to really be an issue, or is that just more of a side story to the season at this point?
I think it's something they'll manage, you know. I mean, unless he comes down with a migraine on a Sunday morning, which, hey, that's a possibility. Terrell Davis did the same thing for Denver. Famously playing a game when he couldn't even playing a single snap when he couldn't even see a big play, but no, I don't think it's going to be a huge worry. I mean, Percy Harvin is going to be a guy who, you know, on the rosters I have him on, I'm trying to find a way to get him on the field, and I'll continue to do so, and maybe watch on Sunday mornings for updates, and if there's an issue, maybe swap him out. But I think it's something they can manage.
An update from Chicago, Forte currently listed as probable. What are you thinking his chances of playing are?
No, I think he'll, you know, it's virtual certainty. Once you get the probable, you're a virtual certainty. He will play. They've had a hard time running this year. They're, you know, the numbers are not there. The production that everyone expected is not there. You know, it's been so bad that they tend to go, you know, to the air when they hit the red zone instead of relying on him. He'll still get his chances. He goes against a Detroit team that maybe isn't the best team in the world, but they are not last year's Lions. They're a better rushing defense. I think they're 16th in the league right now. So So it won't be, you know, it's not a pushover. This is not a walkthrough drill. This will be an actual game, and at some point, Forte's got to get off the schneid, and there's another guy, you know. If you believe he is who we saw last year, and there's no reason to believe he isn't, there are offensive line problems. There are other issues that maybe are a problem. Maybe that's the guy you try and make an acquisition with a low ball offer.
Yeah, another team that's just kind of been plagued with the issues this year, the Raiders. Information coming out today, too, that looks like Chaz Schilens is probably not going to be a factor for the next couple of weeks. His progress is coming out a little slower than expected. Jer, how much of a factor is that going to be keeping Schilens out?
I guess it would be more of a factor if they had a quarterback who could hit some receivers, but they don't seem to have one of those. Really, I had some pretty nice hopes as Schilens to be a nice sleeper receiver this year, but, it's looking like Jamarcus Russell is currently in a status where he's losing ground on where he'd been previously, and that's not doing him any favors. What I do like about this week is Darren McFadden's chances against that defense. I think he's a really nice play, and I'd encourage anybody to try and get him in your roster for this week against Houston.
Bob, what are your thoughts about Jeff Garcia possibly coming back to the Raiders?
You know, I don't think it's going to happen, but I thought it was interesting that Tom Cable didn't just say, no, it's not going to happen when he was asked about it. You know, he said it's something we haven't discussed yet. Yeah, I believe that, sure. And nobody got punched in the jaw in the coach's office either. The thing that worries me about Jamarcus Russell is he doesn't seem real upset about the whole situation. He's just chilling like a villain, and everything's going to come around, and everything does tend to come around when people are interested in having it come around, and you don't see that, you know, you'd like to see that sense of urgency in Jamarcus Russell, and none of us see it, and I don't think the Raiders see it, and that has to be some concern. If nothing else, Garcia brings a sense of urgency everywhere he goes, and so that might be a benefit, you know, as far as Chaz Schilens coming out again, you know, I mean, I think they've completed, what, like less than 10 passes to wide receivers this year, so. And I think
it's been a tough year.
Yeah, and Lewis Murphy has all like 8 of those. So, you know, Darius Hayward Bay is doing quite well with his still has just one more reception than Michael Crabtree.
But it's man, he's fast, isn't he?
He's really clearing the field. Somewhere upstairs, Al Davis is watching him run routes and clenching his fist in a victory song.
I mean, it's a bummer he can't catch the ball, but he sure can run fast. Huh?
Awesome.
All right, moving on to one of the most anticipated games this weekend. Cincinnati and Cleveland should be a phenomenal game. Jamal Lewis and Phil Dawson are all doubtful, too. How much of an impact is that going to make in this exciting game we'll have?
Hey, if you're playing any Browns, let's hope it is. And let's hope if you are, it's only Braylon Edwards, and it's only because you don't have anybody else. You know, again, you do have a little bit of hope because Derek Anderson takes over for Brady Quinn and will at least throw the ball down the field, the place where Braylon Edwards actually operates. So that could work in his favor, but otherwise, if you're starting a Brown, you're probably in not that great a shape anyhow. But it is the bye week, so that's always possible. Jerome Harrison will start at halfback. James Davis is questionable this week, so it's not clear if he'll even make a contribution. Beyond that, start your Bengals. Did I mention that? Start your Bengals. You know, there's a few games that are good matchups this week. You know, I think you look at that would be as good as it gets. You know, your Niners look like they're going to be good starts. Your Giants certainly look like they'll be good starts against the Chiefs. You know, your Bengals against your Browns, your Redskins against your Bucks, those are the logical, you know, lopsided, you know, matchups. As we always learn every week, that doesn't ensure success. But, you know, when you're looking at games like that, it certainly works in your favor.
All right, in a game that probably will have some more implications, Pitt and San Diego, Willie Parker is listed as doubtful right now. Is it likely he's going to be in there, you think?
I don't think he will be, but they did leave kind of some wiggle room. He's going to test the toe on Saturday. You'll want to check for late-breaking updates, you know, middle of the day, early afternoon, and we'll see what he does. But I wouldn't expect him to play. It's a turf toe. Running backs have a notoriously hard time playing with turf toes and a notoriously hard time coming back from them. So, that's a situation to watch for Rashard Mendenhall in the doghouse last week. Oh, I'm sorry, there is no doghouse there. Out of favor last week, and he will have to quickly get back in favor. He's supposedly been studying his playbook very hard. We'll see if he can get something done.
And also in Denver, Peyton Hill's listed as probable, will likely play, although Brandon Stokley has now been added as questionable. What's going on with Stokley?
I think he'll play. He was questionable last week. It's the same injury. He was not very productive last week, but he did make it on the field in his usual role. I think he'll be out there again. Peyton Hill, the big talk is who will be the goal line back. Hill has struggled there last week. the Broncos say they don't really have a goal line back. You know, they'll use everyone. They'll use Lamont Jordan when they're trying to milk a lead, what they call their four-minute offense. Hillis will get the short yardage stuff. But, you know, Moreno scored a seven-yard touchdown last week. I think, you know, I think everyone's interchangeable there. It's a very much a New England-like situation. So it's going to, you know, no Sean Moreno's the guy you want to play there. Buckhalter, if you have to. You know, if you're in a pinch, it seems like a viable play too, but they're going to mix it up there.
All right, Bob, anybody we're missing out there that people need to know about?
You know, I think we've got the change of quarterbacks in Tampa Bay. We've got Josh Johnson taking over for Byron Leftwich. That's a simple benching. Leftwich is hurt, but that's not why he's not playing. I think beyond that, we're going Kevin Smith in Detroit, game-time decision. Practiced on a limited basis, insists he will play, not sure he will. Derek Ward in Tampa Bay, another game-time decision, who looks like he will not play. Frank Gore obviously out. Glenn Coffey will start for him. On the wideout front, we've got, who did we miss? Dwayne Bowe, questionable. And, you know, for my money, he's had the conditioning issues all along. That seems to be part of this problem. He'll be a game-time decision, but going against the Giants, I'm not really keen on any of the Chiefs this week, so that's something worth noting. Dominic Hickson's been ruled out. Hakeem Nicks is probable. He could come back. You don't know what the role will be. Beyond that, who else do we got coming back? Desmond Clark could come back for the Bears at tight end. I think otherwise we're in pretty good shape.
Joe, who do you expect to have really good big weeks this week?
I think one of the sleeper picks, Bob just mentioned how he's not keen on the Chiefs and probably especially the passing game against the Giants, but one of the sneaky plays this week might be Larry Johnson against the Giants. The Giants are just giving up a ton of yards right now per carry, and for whatever reason, teams have been able to run on them. And, you know, assuming the Chiefs can stay close and actually be able to use the running game effectively, you know, LJ might be able to post some decent numbers. So he'd certainly be one of the players out there that I like. One of the ones who I don't like this week is Marquez Colston against the Jets, because Jets cornerback Darrell Revis has just been shutting down all kinds of premier receivers, Andre Johnson, Randy Moss. Neither of those guys did anything against him, and I'm sure this week he'll be on Colston, and that'll send Drew Brees looking for other receivers.
All right, too. So we want to also be sure to be checking the flash update over the next 24 to 48 hours, as that will be updated as all these injury reports continue to trickle in, and we should get final answers here prior to start. Right, Bob?
Oh, that's absolutely true. I'll be going right up through all the kickoffs this week. You'll get your inactives. If you have any guys that are on the questionable list or any guys that are game time decisions, check back in the hour before their kickoff. Make sure you have alternate options in place. You know, if you've got a guy going – you know, if you've got a game-time decision for Monday night, you better have somebody on hand to plug in if your guy doesn't go. So, you know, or you're going to have to go in earlier. And one thing I did want to mention, Emil Cadlick has been working on something that we had last year that we will have again here, I believe, in the next day or two. The personal assistant kind of gives you a really nice long-term view. You can check out players, see what their strength of schedule looks like for and against them coming up. So, you know, if you're making roster personnel moves, looking at free agent deals, it's a very good tool. It'll give you like a one-page view of what their upcoming opponents have done against previous guys at their position, at other positions. Very good tool. Should be up in the next day or so.
Sounds like a real good big picture tool.
Oh, yes.
Right on. Well, also, guys, don't forget we do have the podcast on Wednesdays now, too, where we go through the waiver wire. That way you can get all your waiver claims in before the deadline. So be sure to check back on Wednesday. We'll recap the games. Also, be sure to check throughout the weekend for updates on all your players with the Flash Update. Also, too, we have the texting. You can get specific updates on your players or your team, or you could be like Bob and just get them all sent to you.
Yeah, and you can also go to the message board and see what Joe has to say about stuff.
Oh, we got the message board. We got Fantasy Nation. We got stuff coming out of everywhere for you guys. So be sure to check it all out. It's all good stuff, and we'll be back again on Wednesday with the waiver wire. But enjoy the football weekend, and we'll see you again next week.